Yeah, New Testament, Ephesians chapter 1. So in Ephesians chapter 1, I want to read quite a large chunk of that scripture, but I just want to read one verse first and explain it a little bit, and then we'll read the whole thing together. It'd be great. So Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "He predestined us to be adopted." We need to know that word. There it is, adopted even there. Yep. "As sons through Jesus Christ in accordance to his pleasure and his will." We were adopted into the kingdom. We were adopted into the family of God. I don't know your family. Let's not judge them. I'll just share a bit of my family. So I got a bit of a piece of paper here this morning. I've got this large document in here. And this was printed in Prince Rupert, because that's where I grew up. And my mother was actually a lawyer in Prince Rupert, so she probably helped orchestrate this. But in 1986, August the 6th, 1986, I was actually adopted. My dad adopted me because my mom had been, at this point, this is the third man in her life, and I was only a couple years old. And so this man adopted me, Wilf, who lives in Prince Rupert. He's an awesome guy, adopted me into his family and took me and raised me. And I'm so thankful for that. And so when we look at the story, when we've been adopted in, this is a principle that we really need to understand and wrestle through. Because if you're here this morning and you have a good dad, praise God. Hallelujah. Absolutely, all day long. And don't judge. Please don't do that. I want to share it with my story so you get it. Is that my biological father, he just wasn't ready. And this other man wasn't ready and all these kind of things. But this guy was ready to take me in. And so you've got to figure that out at some point in life, is that you might say, well, my physical, my earthly father, dad in your life didn't really fit the bill. So when I talk about trying to trust God, trust my heavenly father, I have a really hard time because my earthly perspective is not good. At some time in your life, you've got to figure that out, actually. This is a stumbling block that I had for a long time. I was angry. I was frustrated. Why would somebody give me up? What did I do wrong? What's my problem? What is, you know, all those kind of questions that go through your head. And you've got to figure that out at some point in life so that you can fully trust in your God. Until you do that, you will struggle and it will be a challenge in life. And I hate to speak negatively, but I've walked through it. I've lived it. I know what that feels like. And so for years, I struggled with that until I finally said, okay, God, when I read that scripture, I actually believe it. That it wasn't just like, well, you kind of took this, you know, hooligan in, like kind of a bit of a, yeah, we want to take that guy in, you know. Well, you know, there's a big line of guys, and we pick this guy and that guy. Oh, he's the last one on the list. Okay, you can come join the team. No! He did it. It was his pleasure and his will. He saw you, and he goes, oh, I want that guy. I want that guy on my team. I want that guy in my family. I'm going to choose him. Isn't that wonderful news? It doesn't even say anything about this either. We're like, he was a good guy. He adopted, you know, the best guys. No, he just adopted you. It was his pleasure. He wants all of us. Isn't that wonderful? So let's read about this heavenly father, this kind of dad that we got here. Let's read about it in here. Let's read the whole thing. It's going to be long. I might need my glasses. Here we go. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, all the way to 14. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. All of them, all these kind of words, love it. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted to as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves in him. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Let's just pause there. Think about all these things that he's given you. Think about all these things he's lavished on you and loved on you. It's not like, well, you only get about, you know, half the inheritance, or you get a little bit of the blessing because you're a bit of a, you know. No, it's all of it. So good. Verse 8, here we go. Then he lavished on us with all wisdom. Christ, I need that in understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached his fulfillment to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen. Thank you, God. We've been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. You're part of his will in order that we who were the first in hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth. Here it is. In the gospel for your salvation. Thank you, Lord. Having believed, you were marked with a seal. Oh, thank you, God. With the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing your inheritance until the redemption of those who are under God's presence. To the praise of God and glory. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful news? Oh, so good. Do you get excited when you read the word? Oh, that's for me today. I needed that. I feel good. I mean, breakfast was good, but I mean, the word was good. We're just going to read it. We're going to read lots of it. It's just so wonderful. Because often all we hear is the other side. You feel the other side. You don't need the enemy telling you about the other side. You sometimes think it and sometimes believe it, that you're worthless and no good and nobody wants you. Then you come to Scripture, though. And it's all good, because you got a God that cares so desperately about you. Think about this. You know, Jesus was living on the earth, and he knows where he's going. There's a point in the New Testament where he's going to the cross. He knows that the suffering he's going to face. And he says to his Father, he says, God, if there's any other way, I know how much that cross is going to hurt. I know what kind of beating I'm going to take. I know what the weight of sin is, and that will separate me from you. If there's any other way, please let me out of this deal. But he says, if there isn't, let me take the beating. Let me take the licking. Let me be crucified because I don't want them to have to go through it. That's the kind of guy that we serve. Now, again, I don't know what your godly, earthly kind of experience was, but a guy that's willing to take it all, anytime you mess up. You know, as a kid, I mean, I got four kids, so this never happens, right? When they do something wrong or they lose something or something happens, I'm responsible. You can't say, well, you know, it's his fault. He's, he's going to have to figure it out, right? That's why we have insurance, all that kind of stuff. When things go bad, you know, there's something to kind of be in the gap there. So that's the same with our God, isn't it? He takes the responsibility of all of your mistakes and says, I got it all. I got it covered here. I've got, you know, an endless supply. It's going to be all paid for because God loves you so much. Now that is truly an amazing guy. That's a guy worth looking up to. That's the guy we want to mirror and be like, isn't it? That's the kind of guy that we want in our lives. I can't imagine, like I have two boys. And I can't imagine giving up one of my biological children for some other guy, some other kid. Who cares? I don't know that other guy. Why would I ever do that? Why would I even think that way? And God, in his wisdom, and God, in his generosity, and God, in his willingness to give, gave away his son so that he could have you. That's a God. That's a good guy. That's the guy we're serving. That's a good father, a good, good father. That's why we worship him. I don't stand in the front row and raise my hands and sing hallelujah for some joker. I don't come to church, get all dressed up and, you know, get a nice new tie there. Well, thank you very much. You know, get all snazzy and have a shower and all kind of stuff just for no reason. Like, there's got to be a purpose why you came today. Because you love him and you believe in him and you believe that he went to the cross and that you're free from that. You're free from all of your sins. That's why you come here. If you haven't figured that out yet, oh, I pray that there would be a shift in you today. That just something would just kind of just, whoa, yeah, I get it now. I understand why. And so when we sing again, we're going to sing one more song later on, is that you just, whoa. I mean, if somebody gave you everything, what would be like the number one thing in your mind? Oh, I can see a nice fancy car. I could see lots of money. I could see a big house, whatever you want to say. Whatever your like thing is, if you got that today, if I said, oh, I got it, here we go, you know, whatever it was that you wanted and it was given to you right now, how would you respond? If, let's just pretend me, what do you see as me? I'm the silly. I gave it to you right now. I just gave it to you. How would you go? Eh, thanks. Yeah, right. I'd be like, whoa, praise God. Look at that thing I got. And do we do the same when we come to God? Giving you everything. Giving it all to you. Oh, he's worth praising. He's worth celebrating, isn't he? Isn't that wonderful news to think about? Okay, how should we as parent our kids? And so in Ephesians chapter, I totally messed up my page here. That's terrible. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's just go a couple more chapters over, a couple more pages over. In Ephesians chapter 6, so we kind of read the beginning of Ephesians. Let's read the end of Ephesians. So this is good for kids, and then it's going to be good for parents as well. Here we go. So Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, which has a purpose. Well, what's the purpose? Verse 3, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy a long life on the earth. Okay, kids, if you want to live a long time, honor your father and mother. Amen. Amen, preach it. There we go. We got some amens out there. Oh, yeah, it's good. And get them some water when they need it. So honor your father and mother. Do you notice what it doesn't say? I love what Scripture doesn't say. It doesn't say if they're good. Isn't that an interesting thought? If they've got it all together, it just says honor them. Wow, that's easy to read. That is hard to live out. When I've shared with you my own experience, to honor and love them. I kind of want to live a long time, actually. If I make it to 100, we'll be married for 75 years. Isn't that great? So we're working on it, you know, and getting there. One day at a time. Verse 4, though, this is for us, now it's fathers. Okay, what do we got to do? Here we go. Fathers, don't exasperate, or I would use the word frustrate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instructions of the Lord. Children can frustrate you at times, right? We know that. But then it says, though, is that we're, so what do you do in that? So kick them out. Don't let them get the inheritance. Cut them out of the will. It doesn't say, what doesn't it say again? It doesn't say that. It says, even if your children frustrate you to no ends, train them up in the ways of the Lord in Jesus' name. Whew! Isn't that good news, eh? So no matter what's going on, how would we do that? What happens if there's kids that just, they don't care about you. They think you're a noodle. You think you're crazy. You go to church. What's wrong with you, man? You know, I figured out the ways of the world. I'm out there in the world. You don't want to honor you. And so what do you do? How do you parent them? How would you train them up in the instructions of the Lord? Well, if that's the case in you, pray for them. Or, no, not I'm just talking, just, well, that's a good idea, you know, so often it's their birthday or something. Or, you know, over the meal, we'll just quickly throw in a quick little prayer for them. No, I'm like serious, like prayer, like passionate prayer, like when you're just like, blood is like coming out of your eyes like Jesus. Oh, God, in Jesus' name, would you set them free? They need to know you, you know, like, Get serious about it. Get passionate about it. Because just thinking about it, I don't think it's going to change very much. I really wish they would come. Whoa! Get on your knees. Get in the Lord's presence. Cut out some time. Throw the phone away for crying out loud. You don't need to be. What's more important? Get passionate about praying for them. That's just one way, anyways. I love the idea, too, that if we think about it through God's eyes as well, before you even were conceived, before you even cared about God, he gave it all. Just gave it all up. He said, oh, in hope, I just pray and I hope that they would come into relationship with me. I'm going to give everything away. That's the kind of God that we serve. Let us do the same for our children. In the same way, we say we want to be Christ-like. We want to be godly. Well, be like God in that way. Give it all up. Pray that they would come back. Pray that they would find God. Okay, let's go to the Old Testament. So that was in the New Testament. Let's go all the way back in the Old Testament. Exodus. This is, oh, I love this story. They're all so good, aren't they? Exodus chapter 16. I spoke this similar kind of passage when I first moved here 4 years ago, and you can't even find it online. I love that kind of stuff. You know, we just missed some. It was just the audio version. I was hoping to find it, and I could say, go listen to that audio version if you want to hear some other angles around it, but it's just not even there. The whole thing went sour. You know, it's just not there online, so this is the first time you get to hear it. Hopefully, you'll remember it when I share this thought with you. So we're going to pick up a story of a son Jethro is the father-in-law to Moses. So Moses is the son-in-law to Jethro. And there's this interaction of conversation that goes on. And we're so privileged and thankful that we have the word, like the whole word. We know the whole story. But if you lived in the story and you didn't know the outcome, you didn't know how it played out, I don't know how this is going to go. All of a sudden, this curveball comes out of nowhere. And so if we looked at the story from an overarching picture here, we would see that there's the manna and the quail come down from heaven, and God takes care of the Israelites. He takes care of God's people. We would see later on, just in a little bit here, we know that Moses kind of blows a gasket there and give me some water, hits a home run with a rock and some water comes out. So we see that part. But then right then Jethro, his father-in-law, shows up and says something to him. It's just really profound. And then we see after, though, that Moses goes to Mount Sinai and he gets the Ten Commandments and he gets God's people and the rest of the story. We get that. But just right there in the midst of all these miracles, there's this conversation between a father and a son, in a sense. So here we go. Exodus chapter 18, verse 5, it says, Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, together with Moses' sons and wife, came to him in the desert where he was camped near the Mount of God. Verse 6, Jethro had sent word to him, I, your father-in-law Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and your two sons. And it's just like, okay, there was no email. There was no phone call. Like, he sent word to him, say, I'm coming, so get ready. I'm going to show up one day. And I'm just, whoa, the father-in-law is coming to town, woohoo. And so, there's a story that's unfolding here. And if we looked back just a few chapters ago, we would see that, Moses went out, he's being called by God. He's got like a million followers. He's a busy guy. He's like, the wife and the kids, we'll just send them home. Just you go there because I'm busy over here. And then Jethro's like, taking care, like, I already got rid of my daughter. Why is she back here? Like, you're supposed to be with Moses. You got to go and I'm taking you back to him. Let's see how this plays out, eh? So you can imagine this intense conversation that's about to happen. Now, in this moment, I think about priorities. And I wonder if the priorities were a bit out of sync here. Moses, he's a busy guy. He is the man. He's got to take care of all these people. And, he's got a big job. He's got a million people. That's a lot of people he's got to oversee. And so maybe it would be like, yeah, okay, that would make sense. You should probably slow down in other areas and maybe not do certain things because you've got to take care of the people. And then, I can't even take care of my wife or my kids. Like, whoa, this is a heavy conversation. And I asked permission to share the story years and years ago. This happened in Whitehorse. There was a local business owner. He had a kind of skate snowboard shop in town in Whitehorse, and it actually had some really nice clothes as well. And I worked for his mother at a really high-end clothing store in Whitehorse for just a little while there, helped manage it. And so she unfortunately passed away, so he inherited all of her business as well. So the guy was well-to-do. There's some names in town or some last names around every town we would know, it's kind of well-to-do. Like my name, Young. There's a Young Street in every community. I'm very well off. I own quite a bit of the, Canada, But anyways, so you can imagine, okay, this person, he's doing okay. Really okay. And, he was only like our age, and his kid was like our age. And he actually just said, I am selling everything. He sold all the businesses, sold all the properties, and he just said, I want to make sure that when my kids are raised, that I actually have time for them because I've worked really hard to this point and I don't want to miss it. I said, do you know Jesus? Because you sound Christian. He's like, yeah, no, I don't believe what you believe, but I do respect, what you do over there. But I just thought, wow. Isn't that an interesting thought? In society, in this world, and I was this way, honestly, I came out of the womb, flopping around, and all of a sudden I was a manager at Walmart, and I just thought, well, this is my calling. I'm good at this job. I'm about to make six figures. I thought, I'm going to make so much money. I'm going to build a church, and then I'll pastor it. And I just remember God saying, I don't need your money. I need your time. And I was like, whoa, God. Hey, hold on here. That's not in the cards. I'm a man. I will provide, and I will work hard, and And God was like, no. You got your priorities wrong. And I was like, whoa. There's times in your life, because I've had them as well, and I see them in the scriptures, is that there is a pinnacle, spiritual kind of awakening, that something happens, you make a shift in life. You're going in a direction, you feel like you're doing the right thing. Honestly, it felt like I was doing the right thing in retail, and all of a sudden, God was like, I've got you to this place now. I got you to White Horse, because you would have never gone there without, you know, Walmart. And then got me to be a pastor. There was this change that had happened. And so I pray that the same thing would happen for you, that happened to this business owner, that happened to me, that happened to what we're about to read as well. Verse 7, we keep going here, Exodus 18. So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law. That's a pretty smart thing to do. And bowed down and kissed him. I would agree with that one. They greeted each other and went into the tent. Moses told his father-in-law about everything, about all the things that were going on that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and about all the hardships that they had met along the way and how the Lord had saved them. When you talk to somebody for like an hour, have you ever done that? You just sit down for coffee and you can't get a word in edgewise because they're just passionate about something, whatever it is. I don't know, they got the newest thing or whatever this gadget is or their life experience or whatever. You're just like, it's just like, you know, it's just a flood of information. You're like, okay, hopefully I can retain something and kind of say something, you know, in response to what he just said. And it's just really, you're like, whew. You can tell they're excited. I mean, kind of like when I preach, I talk so fast, you can't even understand half the things I say. But similar concept, right? When Moses is telling Jethro everything that's going on, Jethro's just like, wow, that's amazing, right? Isn't that just wonderful? Look at all the great things that have happened. You've got all your priorities straight. Everything is going wonderful here. And then something changes, right? We see this kind of story here, unfolding here. What are they excited about? What are you excited about? I really wonder that. If somebody sat you down right now after the service, took you out for Father's Day, you know, something, because, you know, that's all going to happen. It's going to be good. You're going to get some snacks and some desserts and some chocolate. Oh, cheese. Yes, some cheese. Whatever it happens to be, listen to their story. What are they passionate about? And my prayer is that it would be something of a heavenly value, that there would be, oh, I'm just, you know, I'm excited about my kid, or, you know, can I just, like, I don't know, maybe rebuke is probably a hard word, but when we talk about our family and our kids, sometimes we kind of come across like, guys kind of bragging a little bit. Brag! In Jesus' name. Holy smokes. If we get anything wrong in this world, we kind of get into society, this kind of mold of like, oh, just be quiet about everything. You know, we're not sure. I don't want to offend anybody. Like, these are your kids. Tell them. Tell everybody about your kid, how awesome they are. They need to hear it, and you need to express it in Jesus' name. Be okay with that. Sometimes we say that word. Oh, you're kind of bragging about your kid. Absolutely I am, because they're awesome. Right? Don't ever let them feel like this is the world. The world makes them feel like, oh, we don't want to let it go to their head and all this kind of. Are you kidding me? How often does that happen? The reverse happens more often than you would think. Kids grow up thinking, I didn't know if my parents cared for me. They never talked about the things that I did. Let's not be that way. Let's be the opposite. Let's just, why not? Cool, look at those kids running around. Praise God, look at that. That's awesome. Logan, love that kid. Mighty man of God, there you go. Okay, verse 11, let's keep going here. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods. This is Jethro saying, now that I've heard Moses tell me about all the things that God has done for Moses and the Israel people, now I know that the Lord is greater than all everybody else. As you share about your God, as you brag about Jesus, people will hear that and go, look at the passion that you have for your God. I think I need to get to know that God, because every other choice is ridiculous. Every other choice is not going to help me. You see that the Lord's God and all other little g, little guys, you know, that you kind of follow or get sidetracked on are no good, because you only need one God. You need one heavenly Father, and his name is Jesus Christ, and we need him desperately. We need a move of Jesus in our lives. And in the midst of this, this is the part I love. It doesn't say this, but think about it. Moses here has got his priorities wrong. They're very wrong. He's taking care of all the people. He's just busy. We're going to read in just a second. He's so busy, can't even take care of his family. And in the midst of that, as he shares about Jesus, his father-in-law gets impacted by God. He's off kilter, and God still uses him. Isn't that just a mind shift? What? Like, oh, if only I have everything together, make all the right decisions, then God will use me one day. And in the midst of all of this craziness, God uses him anyways, because it's God's plan and it's God's will, and he'll use you if you think you're ready or not. Isn't that brilliant news? Because you're never going to be perfect. Oh, I hate to say that. I apologize. I mean, I'll never be perfect. Let me just kind of reemphasize, throw me under the bus. You'll never have it all together, but God can still use you. Doesn't matter your story. Look at this guy's story. Moses, what a crazy guy. Born, you know, everyone's trying to kill the kids. They throw him in the water. And good luck. Hopefully the alligators don't get you, right? Then all of a sudden he's born in like a rich family's home. And then he leaves. He's out in the wilderness. He finds a wife. He's got a bunch of kids. Now he's leading a million people. Like, it's just a crazy story. Crazy story. But still God uses him. Okay. Verse 13. Well, this is where it gets fun. The other part wasn't fun until this point, right? Verse 13. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood there around him from morning till evening every day. No day off, no Sabbath rest. There's a million people. They got problems. They got issues. We got to deal with all of them. And he's just so busy again. He can't take care of his kids. So now Jethro's like, I'm going to bring you your family back because you got your priorities wrong. You got to make sure you're taking care of your family as well. Let's just jump down to verse 16. Whenever they have a dispute, it's brought to me. Moses is now trying to defend himself. Like, I'm just so busy. And I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and laws. Isn't that just an interesting thought there? That I'm the only one that can give them God's laws and decrees. You see, that's actually the wrong makeup of a church. That it would be one guy that could only hear from God and give you the laws and decrees. That's actually incorrect. And so we take that into the New Testament. We even take that into today's terms, right? When Jesus came, and then he released them all to go and to be the witness. And so when we come to church, it's the same way. If you ever think that the pastor is the only guy that can hear from God and the only guy that can give God's laws and decrees, that's actually wrong theologically. Because we all have a place and a purpose, and God wants to use you. And it doesn't matter what it looks like. There's no hierarchy in heaven because it goes this way. We're all on the same page. We're on the same level playing field. Isn't that just a wonderful thought to have? Let's just keep going here. Verse 17, the very next one. So again, he's defending himself, and then Moses says, Moses' father-in-law Jethro replied, he says this, what you are doing... I love the Bible for that kind of stuff. Like, it should just be, what you're doing is bad. You know, it's not good. The things that you think you're doing and all these kind of things are happening, it's actually not good in his sight. It's not good in God's sight. If we had a report card for fathering, for parenting right now, okay, let's one at a time here now. Is he a giver? Yep, he's a good guy. Does he take his kids out, you know, and watch their softball game? Yeah, good guy. Is he intelligent? Well, that's always questionable, you know, because God's got all the wisdom right now. Be careful, I'm fine with you. All these kind of things we would have, like, he's good with money. Yeah, he's all that kind of stuff. Oh, he gives to his family first before he gives, you know. We go on, and then maybe near the end we say, does he go to church? Does he love God? Does he pray for his family? Does he read his word? Is he passionate about the Holy Spirit in his life, all those kind of things. Like, how do we do on that report card? And this is the question that Jethro is asking Moses. What's closer to the, now it's not about closer to the top, because that's wrong teaching as well, is that it's all part of your calling in life as long as it's balanced. That's the most important thing. Because being a good dad and a da-da-da, all these other things are important too. But if that's the priority, if you've cut out all the other stuff, that's the imbalance where it goes, you know, your scale's imbalanced. It's got to have balance. You've got to have priorities in line. What you're doing is not good. That's so hard to hear. I have this wonderful book, so just kind of throw a curveball out here just for a second. So Pastor Aaron and Rebecca, who are the pastors in Prince Rupert, if you've been a part of this church for a long time, you would know that we sponsored them. They were in China as missionaries for like 10 plus years. Just a few years ago, they came back and they landed in Prince Rupert. And so he's the section pastor. He oversees like the whole kind of Northwest section, all the pastors and churches. I'm his assistant. And so he sent me this book. And so Pastor Ben, did you get the same book? It's a different book. Okay, cool. He's got lots of cool books then. And it's just, I love that thought because he knew that I needed to have this book for this Sunday because God wanted to speak through this to me. How cool was that? Because I was writing the sermon and he sent it to me and I was like, I'm going to cheat here because I like to do this sometimes. This never happens. You guys never do this, where you just kind of look at the index or the back or something, just make sure you want to read it. So 11 indispensable relationships you can't be without. So 11 different personality traits that you need to have in your life to be successful. And I just thought, let me look at the chapters here because I want to see like all 11 of these people and think, God, God, God. No, it's a bunch of different people in the Bible. But I looked at here, so it was in chapter 5. It was talking about Jethro. You need a Jethro in your life. I was like, that sounds interesting. So I flipped to that page and started reading it. I think, man, like he's obviously Leonard Sweet way smarter than I was. But I was like, oh, these some of the same ideas here. But what I found interesting is that you need a balance of people in your life, not just Jethro's. Oh, please, Jesus' name, not just Jethro's. We're just like, that's wrong. You're doing this. What are you doing? You would just feel terrible, right? You need you need an encourager, right? You always need that guy, no matter what you do, that's going to lift you up. Oh, I'm just praying for your brother. You're going to be okay, right? But then you also, sometimes you need a good old Jethro, give you a kick in the butt and say, what you're doing is not good. But just not all the time, please. In just little increments at a time, because it could, I just feel deflated all of a sudden, right? You're not feeling so encouraged. But how important to have somebody like that in your life. This is what he says, because I believe this. We've kind of got a silver spoon in our mouth here in Canada. We've just got it so easy. And he says this. We need a Jethro sometimes so that we can get off the gravy boat train, get on the gospel train in Jesus' name. Isn't that good, eh? Like just Leonard Sweet, good guy. Like him. So that was an interesting thought. Let me just share a couple stories with you because I don't like sharing stories, as you can tell. This apple here. And so I read that in the book as well. There's actually a couple bruises on here. Did you know, because I didn't know this, that apple pie with a nice, fresh, off-the-tree, organic, sugar-free, you know, good luck, apple, is actually not the best apple for apple pie. Now, the brand and all those kind of, you know, different types, so that's important too. But I might be wrong with this, but it said this in the book, so I'm just going with the book. You know, it's not the Bible, but it's just in a book. They were saying actually kind of a bit of a bruised up, a bit of an older apple is actually makes the best apple pie. Isn't that an interesting thought? How many of you are bruised up? How many of you are a little bit beaten up? And the best thing is to have those in your life. Ouch, man. I don't like those kind of things. But to be the best man that you can be, sometimes you need to face some hard things. Now, please don't go home and start throwing the apples around the kitchen and thinking, we're going to have some good pie tonight, boys. You know, pom, pom. You know, don't do that. Your wife's going to be like, those are good apples, man. What are you doing? I really wanted to, and God gave me so many names, I wanted to just go to somebody right now and give you the apple. But there's too many of you. I can't bring that many apples. I need one of those apples, actually. So I want you to all just receive that today. Whatever you have done, just know that God can redeem it and it will make you the best person by the things you've experienced in life. It's so easy to say, well, all those things impacted me in a negative way. I could show you my file. It's only like a piece of it. You've heard more of my story. Like this file would equal problem child, you know, lunatic child, all these kind of things. But God can take that file and he can redeem it and make you the best person that you can be if you give it to him, if you trust him with him. Isn't that just a cool thought with an apple? Like, I mean, the apple hits you on the head and you kind of learn something, right? Like, it's awesome. Okay, I have to cut out this whole page because we just don't have time for that. Let me share this other story with you. So I've got this picture. I was in Prince George, and I was walking in Walmart, and I almost ran into this thing. And so we've got a picture of it this morning. It took somebody's job. Like, look at this thing. It's like the Cleaner 6000. You know, I don't know what this thing is. Nobody operates it. It's like a robot. And so our kids were having fun with it. We're like, watch this. You jump out and scare it, and whoop, it stopped. And you're like, you're behind the clothes rack. And it just has sensors all over. It stopped. And I just thought, this thing's going to run somebody over. But it's replaced somebody's job. Do not let somebody else replace the job of a father. Your kids, I went through this. will find somebody else to father them. It was not good. It was far from good. It was brutal, the things I went through, because I trusted in somebody else. Make sure you're at the realm. Make sure you're at the driver's seat. Say, this is my family, these are my kids, and I'm going to lead them and pray for them in Jesus' name. Let's make sure we're doing that. It's so important. And this other photo here I had is up north, where it snows 13 months of the year. Let you resonate with that one for a minute. There's my son, Emmanuel. He's right there. And my daughter, Celeste, is in the back right there. You see her? She's got a missing tooth. She knocked her tooth out when she was real young. And so this is us in our yard. Again, there's so much snow all the time. And so we had some fun. We built a snowman. And so let's make sure that, you know, we do those kind of things with our kids. And we don't let the snowman, the person who's just not at home, too busy, father and parent our kids. I think it's just, as a church, as Christianity, as the kingdom, we should be the glowing stars in this. We should be hitting home runs in this, because too many of us work in industries and organizations and social areas where we see where it hasn't happened. We all know that. You can find it. It's not hard to find. Let's make sure, again, that we're doing what God's called us to do. And the only way that you can do that is by finding God. Because all that wisdom and understanding to help lead your family and help your kids can only be found right here. You can try as much as you want. You can try as hard as you want, but you'll find it here. God wants to give it to you. It's a free gift. He wants to lavish on you. He wants to give you all that wisdom, give you all that understanding. It's so important. When there was this fight, because okay, we're men, we need to hear these kind of stories. If you look up biggest grossing fight of all time, not a good friend of mine, but I call it like that sometimes. So you got Floyd Mayweather, and you've got Manny Pacquiao, the Filipino, the biggest grossing fight of all time. And so that was wonderful. It was a good fight. Went all was it 12 rounds? I'm pretty sure. And then the second fight, second grossing fight, was again Floyd Mayweather against Connor McDavid. Now, it only went 10 rounds because the ref like kind of threw the towel in for Connor McDavid, which I thought was kind of wimpy of him. But Connor was willing to stand in there and get his head knocked off for 10 rounds. He was wanting to go another 2 rounds. He said, I'm all in, man. I came to fight. And the ref threw the towel in for him. He didn't want to stop fighting. And so I don't know what you're fighting for. And sometimes I think, so for me, growing up with some challenges, I thought, I'm fighting to prove myself, to prove my value, to prove my worth, that somebody wouldn't throw me away. It's the wrong priorities. You got to hear that. It's the wrong thinking. You don't have to prove yourself to anyone because God loves you. Isn't that wonderful news? God looks at you and says, I'm going to give up my son for you. That's how much I love you and care for you. That's the kingdom. That's the principle of the word of God, is that, again, you don't have to have it all together. God just loves you, and he's willing to take it all, and he'll go out. He'll never throw the towel in. I love that imagery there. So I want to just shift in a second here, and I need to ask for some help. And so if you're online, I'm going to dismiss you in just a second. I'm going to pray. But I want to ask the ladies of the house in the church here to do something for their man or for just men in general. So I want to ask you, not right now, in a minute here, though. It might be a little uncomfortable, and I apologize for that. I'm just a crazy uncomfortable guy sometimes. I want you to come to the front, and I want you to turn around and look at all this men in the house, in God's kingdom, and I want you to pray for them. And I don't want to take turns and pass the mic around. Like, I want us all to just pray, like almost like a song. Like, just pray out loud. And you don't have to wait your turn. We need prayers. We need your support. We need you to be encouraging us. And you know, all those crazy ideas we do get, you know, just kind of loving us. And it's okay, you know, we're going to get through that. And if you're online, then, you know, you can't do that with us. But I want to encourage you, like, whoever you think of, any gentlemen, any kids, any fathers, like, just be praying for them. And then we'll close, and Pastor Ben's going to give some announcements, and we'll have all that kind of fun stuff. We'll have some root beers. But let me just say goodbye, and I'm just going to close in a prayer, and then we'll get offline. And then I'm going to ask you to come forward. So let's just bow our heads. Father, this morning, I just know that I know that you've done something in some guys' lives here, and even some ladies, maybe some young people that didn't have a good father, that you spoke to them. Because you sure spoke that message to me a long time ago. You sure changed a broken kid and helped them understand the gospel, helped me understand Jesus, helped me understand your purposes. So I thank you that you did that again today. I thank you that there's a shift in some people's minds here this morning about who they are and who you are and how valuable that relationship is. And so God, we praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.